Welcome back to Never Settle. Today I have a deliciously repeat guest, Jenny Dalio. She's the founder of Live Deeply. And our first conversation had me so entranced that I'm thrilled to have you back, Jenny, because your company is all about connecting on a deeper level in conversation and gathering. So I can't wait to kick this one off today.
Thank you, Sarah. I'm so happy to be here again. I really enjoy your podcast.
Thank you. And, you know, as we're talking on the depth of, you know, almost what's missing here in Never Settle, we talk about, you know, how we would want to level something up, that there has to be a better way. And I would love to get into that story aspect of where that tipping point was for you, that you thought, you know what, there's something there and I want to create something deeper.
Yeah, so I can think of a lot of instances, and one that came up very recently for me is I find that a lot of events you go to, whether they're large or small, it often feels like they just throw people in a room together and say, like, okay, and now hang out. And there's so much awkwardness and so much, ironically, deep down, it can even lend itself to a type of loneliness. You're surrounded with people, but and everybody with good intentions wanting to connect. And this, you know, and ultimately not achieving that. And this happens with family as well, sometimes with my own. You know, we'll get together for big family gatherings and we love each other dearly, but it could be similar. Everybody goes back to the roles that they're used to playing. And I've thought there has to be a better way to connect. And often what I find is missing for myself and for others is kind of a map to how do I get from where I am in this interaction to where, you know, from point A to point B, how do I get from point A to point B? And that's the thing that I find so much communication can improve.
In between those two points, what are you seeing? You know, there's always a reason us as founders, we say, you know, I want to create this. I want to share this. What was that moment for you where you thought, I feel so compelled to create a product or create a system to take somebody from a deeper point A to point B? What was that moment for you?
You know, I moved to many different cities throughout my life. And every time I did, I had to start over again from scratch. You know, you're a revenue to make friends. Mm-hmm. And the moment where I decided to make it official was a time when I went to visit my brother who was living in Chile at the time, and he was struggling to make friends. And I sat him down and I said, I have a playbook. I've never written it down, but these are the steps that you need to do to make friends in a new environment.
Yeah.
And as a, you know, first you have to go find these people that you connect with, that you deeply resonate with. And then you have to find things to talk about so that it's a legitimate, you know, genuine conversation. And that was the first time that it became a formalized process sort of for him. But then in my work environment, I started organizing events because I always had a lot of questions around purpose and meaning and what gives us purpose and meaning. And I've discovered that it's really hard to live a meaningful life without meaningful relationships, you know? So if I want to lead a meaningful and happy life, then I need to have meaningful, you know, happiness inducing relationships. So I turned that into a part of my work, and I started organizing events where we would invite a speaker to talk about these meaning and purpose things, but then we would curate the audience and make them turn around and talk to each other and have all these guided modalities that would help them sort of go deeper with the people they had come with and get to know new ones. And then during COVID, when we couldn't gather again in that way, a different problem arose along the same vein of, you know, you're having lunch and dinner with the same person. What do you talk about and how do you make it meaningful? So a lot of the tools that I had used to create meaningful events became physical tools, right? Which is the card game that you're familiar with and all these decks of cards that people can use in their home. And I've gotten feedback from people who use it every day. So it's become a tool for deeper connection on even, you know, on a day to day, people start their morning using these cards to connect with their partner as a way to begin the day on a connected level.
I love that. And something, you know, something that my partner and I do, we'll sit down in the morning. We have them called coffee talks. We have different intermittent, we spend a lot of time. We both work from home, you know, when I'm not out on sets or, you know, we're not traveling. And to what you're saying, it's like sometimes it's not that we're unevolving, but sometimes it's just like, I don't really have much more to report. We're okay with the silence, but it would be incredible to have a little spice that sparks something different. So I think that that's I love the card elements, and you have a lot of different topics that, it's not, it's for some for newlyweds, some for, developing deeper love connection. So we'll do morning coffee talks, and we'll go through, what excites each other for the day ahead? How can I best support you? I'm sure that that's a lot of similar things that are within the decks, but and how has that helped improve your relationship with your husband and your family? Because you have kids, so how does that, I bet they see mom and dad doing those things. So what's that like?
Yeah, it's fascinating because they're my own cards. I often hesitate to pull them out because I don't want to impose on people. And so I stopped for a long time, and I realized I brought them back recently, and I realized how much richer our conversations become. There's one called Life Stories, and you combine two different words, and the combinations that you can get are endless. So you could do this forever, basically. And there's always something new to discover. And I've used them in family gatherings, around Thanksgiving or Christmas. And especially when we're together for a few days, there's always some meal where we're okay, we've talked about the basics, what's next? And it's really led to so much richer conversations and exactly that kind of there has to be a better way together as a family. Okay, well, there is. I found it. You could have conversations about what's really going on, or even sometimes you don't want to go that deep, but you want to laugh together. And that's a form of connection that's very connecting, for lack of a better word. You laugh together and you look at each other and you watch somebody blurt out a sentence that they're trying to squeeze it in, but they couldn't figure out how to do it. And we've been leaning into the laughter a lot and leaning into those kind of questions of who did you trust with your secrets when you were growing up? That it's not. Maybe it's not deeply revealing about your current moment, but I'm finding that a lot of interactions need different things. Sometimes you want to laugh, sometimes you want to talk about what shaped you, other times you want to philosophize, but every time you want something different, and as a group, you might kind of be in a vibe of wanting something different together.
And it's the idea of laughter, how that helps connect people. And it also just elevates a different energy. They're different forms of intimacy. And that's really, what I'm hearing as you're sharing. And, to relate, it's something that my husband, I will say, it's a different level of intimacy to be able to open up, to share some of the deeper stories, but then be able to create new memories and take it up to a different level where you are laughing, and it's a different kind of bond. I would love to hear what has been one of the most, because you mentioned you bring this up around Thanksgiving and such and different holidays. What's been one of the most memorable stories that you have uncovered through this technique?
Two come to mind. The first, my mom, we went through the family stories deck, and through those questions, I discovered that my great grandmother every day, every afternoon, sort of no matter what, took time to go visit with friends or have them visit her house. And it surprised me because think about that. Do you know anybody else in our current day of such a fast pace that every afternoon makes time for human connection? I don't,
No,
and I value
no.
it. And it blew my mind because we desperately need it, but we're so busy and we settle for these small connections that myself included. I'll settle for WhatsApp and end up forgetting how much I need to see another person. So it was. I've learned a lot about my ancestors by asking my family about these questions. I learned that my grandmother had an older sister who passed away that I had never heard of. And it shaped
Wow.
who my grandmother was, how treasured she was for the family when she did arrive, and how that shaped her. So,
Wow.
I discovered a lot of things that they weren't secrets. They were waiting to be asked.
Wow. And to uncover such information, What I'm hearing is an overlap, and we hit record after we started our conversation in fairness. And we started chatting, and I said, I probably should be recording this, but we'll bring it back up again. You mentioned how you recently moved, and one of the things you want to do is connect with neighbors and people around. And I would imagine that part of that was sparked from what your grandmother was doing that you uncovered. Am I correct in that?
Yes, and I want to be transparent. When when you ask me what a challenge is, I'm in a whole new, what feels like, unexplored terrain right now, a new motherhood. I have a 1-year-old son and a 2-year-old
Wow.
son, and I'm having to rediscover a lot of my playbooks for the amount of time and energy that I have. A lot of the things that I used to do, I just don't have time for. And in parallel, I realized recently that a lot of the struggles that I've had with motherhood were actually not as much with motherhood itself as the isolation that motherhood and COVID brought for me.
Oh, wow.
And
That's
that became,
deep.
yeah, and that became unlocked recently, sort of accidentally. I started trying everything to set up play groups. I'll try scheduling far in advance if that's your vibe. I'll try scheduling spontaneously if that's your vibe. I'm desperate. I'll take anything. But I think it's that the humility you need to have, I'm not embarrassed to say I need friends, and I'm not embarrassed to say that I'll plan however it works. But as a result, I did end up having more play dates with the kids. And really, we weren't doing anything grand. We were just coexisting while the kids played, and the conversation wasn't, there weren't fireworks, but it was just sharing life together, and it was transformative for me.
And that's really what makes the greater that's life. Those are the life moments. We talk about that a lot, where it's the smaller things that can be easily taken for granted that are usually the most memorable, those experiences.
Yeah.
And it's what you mentioned about what the transition was like, one through COVID, and then becoming a mother, and those transitions with the amount of time that you have. What has shifted for you, as far as I'm hearing two words, quality and quantity. So that's what comes to my mind, which is a big part of the Live Free Manifesto. So perhaps resonating and overlapping, but I would imagine you value the time that you're outputting because it is more limited. But what has that experience been like for you?
I would say the biggest difference is that it's a lot harder to make the time, but before I had kids, I could theoretically go out every night if I wanted to an event, networking, talk. I really love learning, so I would always go to something where I could, somebody would give a talk and I could learn something new. But as a mom of toddlers, that requires, okay, I have to find a babysitter and pay for them, so it gets really expensive, and you have to, you also don't have the energy at night to do that very frequently, right?
Sure.
But it's turned into what we were discussing earlier, where it's kind of bringing me back to my own childhood experiences of craving that intimacy of whenever you live nearby someone and you could run over and can kind of giggle and talk about something and then run back, and it doesn't take you too long to get home. And to that, in that vein, I've started reaching out to neighbors, but there's also a kind of a reality that's given, and embracing, I want connections, and so do all my other neighbors. Can we start here?
And that's there's something I love about being around. You mentioned she was 90, where there's an
Yeah.
elder generation. There's so much to learn. There's
Yeah.
such depth
Yeah.
that, to the whole circle this conversation, the depth that you get from a wise soul who has lived so deep. And as I'm saying this, in our interview and on my time here, West Coast, it's 11:11. So just putting that out there as we're recording this, and the power of those kind of stories and that kind of wisdom for what can transcend. It's just a, it's a missing piece for what we have. How could you see, and this might, bring it back to full circle to what we were saying earlier. How can one, if you were to share with somebody, listening, they want three tips, or like, what can we do? Because we've wound ourselves to a point where we are today, but how could we unwind to almost slow down and go back to those deeper connections.
I think an important part of going back to the deeper connections is establishing a moment of trust. And it helps me to think that the person who's in front of me, I remember a friend told me, everybody you meet has a heart that desires just like you do.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember I put that as a quote and I put it on my phone. I used to every time I went to conferences or big network, you know, things where you're kind of hit with a flood of people, just remember their humanity. So I would have step one be to start there. Start by putting yourself in the other person's shoes and what they might be feeling, what they might be going through, what might they be feeling nervous about. Because it's easy to get intimidated or to really kind of focus on oneself and maybe our own insecurities. But I find a lot of richer conversation comes when I realize that the person may be craving the same thing that I'm craving. And it's funny, I just attended the TED Talks in Vancouver, and I approached a group of women, and one of them said that they'd been going around asking, what is one unresolved trauma you're still working through?
That was the leading question. I love
Yes,
that.
I love it. I was like, oh my, thank you. Yeah, I'm invited to this party. This is exactly
right,
the time.
Right? That's a strong, I love that opener.
I mean, yeah, that's daring, right?
Big time. And then what was the response after that? Because that's something, you know, I'm going to I'm speaking at a travel conference coming up. And if I said that to somebody, they'd probably look at me like I had four heads. So it's almost like being in the environment, but it also catches people on a deeper level to create one, like you said, that trust, but also that deeper level of connection. It's so powerful.
Yeah. So I think the first is the trust. The second is to say, you know, I would not dare just jump into it like she did. I would couch it a little bit in an explainer of what I'm trying to get out of the conversation and what might be helpful. And listen, she said that nobody turned her down. And something that I've been coming up against that is true for me as well is to have the humility, in a sense, to be okay with being rejected, right? Because
true.
for me, the reason I don't ask that is because I don't want somebody to look at me in a way that'll make me feel hurt.
Sure.
But if I can find a way to get over that, the same thing I was mentioning earlier with the scheduling and the moms, right? It takes a humility to say, okay, fine, I don't care. Do you want to schedule a month out or do you want me to be spontaneous? I think a lot of these social interactions require humility and thick skin, I would say, which I don't, I'm sensitive, but the way my workaround is to not take it personally. You know, I think if I think back on my own experience, I think so much of my reactions in front of people have a lot more to do with what I'm going through than anything they might have said.
That's a strong statement right there. And something I've been working with too, is it's so powerful what you said. To shine a light on that, it has more to do from the inside, because oftentimes what we see on the outside is a pure reflection from the inside. And it's the ego that kind of plays with us in those moments, no? Because I mean, I face it all the time with acting. It's just like, is it me? Is it that? Like,
yeah.
No, it's just, you know, you, whatever the case might be. And just being human, it's like somebody looks at you differently at the gym and you're like, oh, did I, you know, is it my outfit? Like, what? But it has more to do, like, how we're reacting and interacting in the world is all a lot of the inside. So powerful.
Yeah.
And then what would, I don't know, if we were to sit at a kitchen conversation, which I look forward to doing, or, you know, meeting. You host a lot of events that are over in Miami. I look forward to meeting in person and, you know, having some of these conversations face to face. What's a good conversation starter for somebody who's, you know, we've never met, if you could recommend for deeper conversations, and for somebody that you spend so much time with? And I'll implement this tonight, actually, over dinner. What's a conversation starter you would recommend?
For people that I don't know, I find that one of the biggest snags is that everybody gets into their posture, right? Everybody thinks that they have to put on a mask and be a certain person. And the way that I disarm that is to ask a casual question a friend might ask, like, so how was your week last week? I don't start there, right? You have to do a little bit of the, so were you thing, right? But as soon as it's viable, I'll jump into a question a real friend would ask. How was your week? Or I've been asking people, share a time you felt helpless lately, because people's comes off kind of immediately, right? You were posturing, well, I'm this, I'm that, I'm whatever. And then if I have to share a time, I was like, well, let me tell you, you know? And I have found that to be disarming. And a follow-up question I ask will be something that invites people to brainstorm. If the space allows, right? I don't know if you're in a bar or at a restaurant. It really depends.
Good point.
Some of the most satisfying conversations have been tiny brainstorming, you know, after people answer where they're feeling stuck, asking if they're open to or desirous of a short brainstorm. And I've found that to be very, very, very satisfying.
That's a good point. The location matters big time if you're at a club. So what was your last trauma? And you're like, loud noise.
Exactly. Yeah, that's the reason I love hosting at home, because you have that intimacy built in, you know?
Very true. And then if you've known somebody for the longest time.
If you've known somebody for the longest time, I can't resist doing a plug for our parenting cards, because the parenting cards specify that there are a lot of things you actually may discover you don't know about a person. They go into details. I remember with my brother, he was living in Atlanta this time, and I asked him to go through all of his colleagues. Which ones do you like? Which ones do you not? Which ones, who are, what are they like? And it seems trivial, but that's what their day is made of, you know? And if you can know the 10 people they interact with the most frequently and how you feel about them when you follow them, it's almost like you're a part of their life. And it makes such a difference.
It's an integration. Again, it goes back to that word of intimacy, but that's, you know, so powerful and very, very true. I see it even in our household. It's like, oh, I know you have this client. He's like, oh, what audition do you have? And how did that go? So it's caring and the curiosity behind. I love these chats with you, Jenny. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Wrapping up on this last one for you is, what does it mean to never settle?
There's a part in all of us, I think, that yearns for a life that can be more true and more beautiful. And to a certain degree, that craving inside of us won't fully be answered while we're alive. But I spent some time in my life kind of realizing this and turning back on the entire question, and it led to a less satisfying existence. And so even though I think that nagging feeling will always be there to some degree, I think life is so much more beautiful and true and exciting when we see that, go after it, and then every day at night be honest with ourselves, you know, what did I do today that really satisfied that? And what did I do that left me feeling anxious? Because I think if we're honest, that's the beginning of a whole new journey.
Wow. That I'm gonna do that tonight. And, you know, we do gratitude at night, but the satisfaction towards the greater why, so strong. I'm going to do that tonight. Thank you for sharing that piece.
Sure. Thank you. That's how I had my life changed as a result of that exercise.
I hope that's in a worksheet or a workbook or one of your card decks or something in the works for in the future, because I love it.
Not yet, but I'll
there we go. Thank Jenny you. Dalio from Live Deeply, You Speak Deeply, and thank you for being here. And that wraps up another episode of Never Settle. Subscribe to this podcast for more inspiring and empowering messages from listeners and viewers from around the world.